serves this country, state, and community. A warm coast-to-coast welcome for the Governor of Oregon, Picatia.
Tom Peters writes about the best managed companies in America. He says these well-managed companies rely on a simplicity in management. Ideas like suggestion boxes, experimenting with promising new ideas, talking together in small groups, even a degree of hoopla. Whether we're managing a branch of government or a business, each of us knows we get things done through people. I've had a great sense of satisfaction in my own business. My two brothers and I, and yet I know without the people that worked for us, we wouldn't be as successful as we've been. And each of us understands it is the satisfaction, personal involvement, and the loyalty of those people and the enterprise that determines how well things get done. In Oregon State Government, for several years, we've been successfully trying to give our people the work and satisfaction, the investment in our product, and the loyalty of the people whom they serve. The sort of simple things Tom Peters writes about. And I would tell you, my business is small. It's not a large business. I reduced the size of our government to small pieces. And the things that operated well in the Tia Brothers is operating well in state government. Among the methods that we've tried are quality circles. Quality circles have been known to be used in manufacturing for non-service. In fact, Oregon State Government is a public sector pioneer in quality circles. A pioneer not only in getting people to solve problems in the workplace, but also a pioneer in identifying that the problems themselves exist. We're also involving people through our Employee Suggestions Award Program, a suggestion box, if you will, program that receives an average of 75 ideas a month. Since it began, the Suggestion Award Program saved Oregon taxpayers several millions of dollars. We paid more than $52,000 to people in state government for having made those suggestions. The ideas range from that of a fish and wildlife employee who suggested saving $1,600 by eliminating mass mailings to meeting minutes, and to a corrections division employee who saved Oregon taxpayers $3,000 by suggesting we recycle worn-out bed sheets and use them as kitchen aprons. And incidentally, I picked these because I want you to know that I particularly believe that it's all kinds of suggestions, not just the big ones that I'm looking for. They all add up, and they do. I will always remember, as I was presenting some awards in human resource, I was asking the people there what their suggestions were. I gave them an opportunity to say what it was they suggested. And I finally got to one man, and I said, "What was your suggestion?" He said, "I suggest they eliminate my job." And they did. Essential to the success of managers that we involve our people. It's critical to the success of an entity as large as Oregon State Government that we involve our people. State government not only is the largest single employer in Oregon, but we're responsible for more than 3 million square feet of owned and leased office space. We have more than 1,700 vehicles in our motor pool. We use more than 9,000 telephone lines in delivering services to Oregonians. Each month, state government generates nearly 350,000 pounds of mail, including nearly 170,000 pounds, of which we save over $300,000 every month by using our own state shuttle service. People in even so large an institution, not unlike your stores, understand the needs of our constituents well enough, and we are accessible to them, and that we've been able to respond effectively to them. Jerry Asmus, an economics professor at Boise State University, uses exaggeration to make his point about what can happen when government loses sight of its objectives of serving people. Here's what he wrote. The year was 1984 when Congress did empower bureaucrats to safety tie each bathtub, floor, and shower. To save our hides from fallen slides, $1 billion they spent. They studied every bathtub and every accident. They computerized all data, everything they learned. They processed tons of paper, No stone was left unturned. From it all, each tub and stall, the safety sign did get. Geniusly, three words decreed. Slippery when wet. Fortunately, we've not come that far down the road of regulation. In Oregon, we recognize people favor responsible regulation, but they oppose strangulation. We respond with measures such as streamlined land use appeal legislation that gives business more certainty and predictability than can be found in any other state in the union. We responded by working with Oregon business leaders to make dramatic reductions in workers' compensation premiums. Reductions last year were recognized as the largest in the nation. We responded by recognizing the opportunities our citizens have and by recognizing our citizens can best capture the full benefit of those opportunities if government will get out of their way. That's what small business has to offer each of us here this morning. An opportunity to make an enterprise succeed to the extent that our energy, our courage, and our vision will take as far as we want to. 25 years ago, IBM reported a gross from sales, service, and rentals of more than $1 billion a year. Last year, IBM passed $1 billion in revenues during the second week of January. Or consider the Forbes magazine report on the 400 wealthiest people in America. Three Oregonians are on that list. And none of them got there through inheritance. One of them teamed up with a college track coach to build a running shoe called Nike. One of them took the risk of buying 160,000 acres of unwanted timber at before World War II to build a substantial lumber company. And the third designed a better and cheaper oscilloscope in the back room of his appliance shop and founded Tektronix. Opportunities such as these still exist. The point is not only that there is money to be made, but also that business success can, indeed, contribute to the betterment of communities and employees. What community is not better off after successful business people get involved in their community? What community is not better off after successful business people volunteer for boards and commissions, run for city councils and school boards, or volunteer to work for a variety of worthwhile causes? What community is not better off when a successful business expands its payrolls, thereby sharing its profits and its success with even more employees and their families? I believe you will agree, everyone, including labor, including government, has a vested interest in the success of business. Part of the way you contribute to your own success is through meetings such as this one. And again, I do sincerely want to welcome you to Oregon. We are delighted to have you here, and as our billboards would say, we are open for business. When you return home, I hope you will be excited about the new products you discovered and the new ideas you were exposed to during this meeting. You will remember, it was in Oregon where you found it. And when you return home, I hope you'll also be excited about Oregon as a future home or vacation destination. And that you will return soon to enjoy Oregon with your families for a longer period of time. I applaud you. You as small business people. It's a fraternity to which we all belong. One of which I have a great deal of pride. There's no question, you know and I know, the very heart and backbone of our whole nation is small business. That's where the jobs are provided. That's where the vitality exists. That's where the warm-hearted people are. So as one of you, and as Governor of Oregon, I greet you all. Enjoy yourself. For those of you from outside of the state of Oregon, return soon and often. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Governor.
it's obvious that you do belong to this fraternity, and you're a people person, and that's darn important in our business. Thank you very much for an excellent message. I believe the buses will be waiting. I know everybody's anxious to get back on the sales floor.
Bill and Reese Berry are up watching the tournament, and I'd like to acknowledge them if they stand up, please. As a lot of you know, Bill is the head coach at San Jose, and Ricky was a little seventh grader, came to Michigan State when we were there at one time, and now the little bugger's going to be in my damn hair for about 4 years, I can tell that right now. But good old player and a great family. I just would like to take a few minutes and say I'm very, as I was at Idaho, I'm very proud to be a part now of the University of Oregon, and particularly this tournament. Surely it's something that's special and has been to me and my family the last few years. In fact, it was damn special the last 2 years, I think about it. But certainly the people at Oregon and particularly in my case at the university have been special at this time when you're taking over a new program, trying to start something up. Certainly, we're very, very proud to be part of the University of Oregon and all the people that work there. I think this tournament has always been special because of things like this. As Tom said, just the turnout. If you're a coach and come up here, certainly has to be a tribute to the people of Portland, and in our case, the linebackers, and certainly everyone that is connected with the tournament as far as our athletics directors are concerned, and Jack Rainey and Woody and Herb and all those people. I didn't realize exactly how long and how much work was put into this until I got this present job, and they've been working and having meetings all year long. So it is a prestigious tournament. I've always felt that way. It's nationally recognized, and certainly it's a real tribute to the community of Portland and the whole state of Oregon for the support they give and the way they conduct it and have the tournament. I've got a basketball team that I'm very proud of. I've got some real fine young men that are working very extremely hard, and when you're new, you really appreciate that. They've been a little bit inconsistent in some play. We've had some very good minutes of different games, but certainly nothing yet that you can write home and celebrate. So hopefully this tournament, we would hope that would kind of bonify and get together on the consistency of what we're trying to do. It should be a good tournament. We've got some great coaches, some great people that are here, and of course, most of all, we're here with and for the kids. We got some great athletes, some great players, and just great human beings. Thank you very much for coming out this noon. We hope that we'll see you at all the games, and hopefully it'll be another successful, great tournament. Thank you.
Final game of the first round, scheduled to get underway at 9:05. Tomorrow night will be Robert Morris taking on Gonzaga. When I was looking at Robert Morris's record and everything, I honestly admit I did not know where the school was located. I knew it was back east. I called the school, asked the sports information director. He slowly pronounced the name of the city, and I still didn't know where it was, but he said it's okay with me if you just say we're right outside of Pittsburgh. Robert Morris, for the last 2 years, has been a member of the NCAA postseason playoff field, for the last 2 years winning the ECAC Metro title. The head coach of Robert Morris is Matt Prajanic, and Matt is now in his fifth year at that school for the Colonials, and we'd like to introduce him to you right now. Matt Prajanic, head coach at Robert Morris. And the honorary captain for the Colonials this year is Patty Ryan, representing the Gateway Elks Club. Patty.
Did you get this award by shooting? Did you say it was a shooting award? Well, last two games we shot under 30%, so instead of a basketball, we'll give you a uniform. You're going to need a help tomorrow night if we keep shooting the way we are. But I just tell a little story about Coach Miller over here. I got to know Coach Miller and Coach Vina. I know Don and Bill Berry out there and their wives traveling with some of the Nike coaches the last two summers. I thought I knew Ralph pretty well. We had a few beers together a couple places, and I got to know him last summer. Well, I walked into the party last night, and I know, you know, he's done a great job up here at Oregon State. He's really respected throughout the state. And his assistant, Lanny Van Eman, is from Pittsburgh also. And I walk in, and I'm talking to Lanny, I says, Ralph around, and finally Ralph walks away, and I go, God, there he goes. Lanny said, Matt, in Oregon, just call him Ralph. I see there's more Oregon people here than Oregon State, huh? But I wanted to thank both the Oregon and the Oregon State Athletic Department. Finally got the joke. For inviting Robert Morris College to the Far West Classic. I know that growing up and being out east, we've heard of the Far West Classic many a time as being probably the top tournament in the country throughout the years. I know you've had Pitt out here, you've had Duquesne, and being the third Division I school in the city, Pittsburgh has been well represented, and I just hope that we do better than the other two teams did when they were here. But I know that we're very proud of our team and our record the last 2 years. We've been a very successful basketball program. We're a private college that specializes in business. And I think without the support of my administration, the last 2 years wouldn't have been possible. And there's a couple of people that I'd like to introduce to you that have made the trip. The president of our college, Mr. President Charles Sewell. If you just take a bow. Our assistant to the president, Mr. C.R. Miller. And our sports information director, Mr. Randy Cosgrove. And Don, if we don't win this tournament, I'll be with you going to Moscow. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for inviting us. I hope we play well. I know we're playing a fine team in Gonzaga. We're 3-5 right now, but our kids have been working hard. We were 6-9 2 years ago, made the NCAA. We were 4-6 last year, made the NCAA. And what happens is we hit a period where we play about 9 or 10 road games in a row, and I think any coach will tell you that takes its toll on a basketball team. But I think that we'll turn it around like we have other years, and hopefully, Jay, we'll turn it around tomorrow night. And good luck to all the coaches in attendance. Thank you.
Beating Robert Morris in that final game of the first round is Gonzaga University. Gonzaga plays out of the West Coast Athletic Conference. Jay Hillick is the head coach of the Bulldogs out of Spokane, 35 years of age, originally from Santa Barbara, California, and a 1971 graduate of Gonzaga. Third year as head coach, an overall record of 33-29 Gonzaga coming into the tournament this year with a record of 5-3. Jay Hillick, head coach, Gonzaga from Spokane. And the honorary captain for Gonzaga this year is Victor Bogan, representing the Portland Elks. Victor?
I'd just like to extend my thanks to Jack Rainey for inviting our team down here, and to both Dee Andrews and Rick Bay of Oregon and Oregon State. I'd like to thank the sports writers of the Portland Oregonian for putting my picture next to Jack Vina's yesterday. I appreciate that, and so does my mother. Now that Coach Monson has left Palouse country and gone to the big world of the Pac-10, I wanted to tell him about a new diet they have out. It's called the Pullman Diet, and Helen Stevens has all the ingredients on it. Don, I think you should subscribe to it. I'm certainly in health. It's a great thing for our team to be down here. We appreciate the opportunity to play in such a prestigious tournament. We hope that we play well enough to represent the field and hopefully be invited back again. It's really a star-studded coaching field.